Now, it's time to go Inside the Green Room with Danny Green.
Yo tengo una pregunta. I have a question.
Oh, yeah?
How does a proud North Carolina Tar Heel feel about the UConn Huskies capturing their sixth national title in program history? And just for a little backdrop for y'all, UConn now has six national titles in 25 years. National titles is as much titles as the North Carolina Tar Heels. UConn, whether people want to admit it or not, I know they don't have a lengthy history like some of the other programs. They are officially in dynastic territory. They are officially in blue blood territory, if not with their feet 10 toes, with their toes 10 toes down. They are locked in, my friend, based on how they have dominated the tournament over the past 2 years. They are now 12-0, y'all, for the bettors out there. 12-0 against the spread in the NCAA tournament, aka they're smashing everybody who comes across their way. So, one more time, una pregunta. How does a proud North Carolina alum feel about UConn officially being in blue blood territory?
I mean, I think it's great for the sport, you know. I'm happy for my guys that went there that I've become teammates with. You know, I saw Charlie Villanueva last night, saw Rudy Gay, saw Ray Allen, Rip Hamilton, Emeka Okafor, like all those guys that I've known and grown up looking to and some played with. And watched them when I was a kid. So it was fun to see them and then get a chance to celebrate back to back, which is crazy. So they rightfully so. It's a Dan Hurley's got them in a good conversation. So it's a great
in the conversation.
No.
They're strapped in. They're
in the conversation. In the conversation of one of the best teams to go down in history. Because of their point margin, like their point margin average throughout the tournament. So he's got them strapped in. And I know that teams are probably going to throw the U-Haul at Hurley and try to get him to leave. So we'll see how that goes. But it's amazing to see. I know they're talking a little trash. I know Wifey wasn't happy. Purdue losing. She got a chance to experience something they haven't done in 55 years, which is get to the national title. So big shout out to them. But yeah, man, this makes for great debate. They haven't surpassed this yet, but they're right there with us. And I said, for years to come, we're going to see. They're going to get recruits. They got Hurley there. We have to get recruits. We have to step our game up. But it's good for the game of college basketball.
Yeah, that is definitely true. And I think Dan Hurley was also on point yesterday as well. So they had compared this title run to the two teams that we know before went back-to-back. The Florida team with Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, and Al Horford, they went back-to-back. But we all remember that team came back to win back-to-back. And then they had that Duke team that also went back-to-back, but they brought back the same amount of – they brought back pretty much their main cast of characters. What's different for this UConn team, however, is that they only brought back two starters, and they lost three players to professional basketball / the NBA. Dan Hurley's right. This is probably the most impressive back-to-back run that we've ever seen.
Yeah. Said the point margin. And it's crazy because – you know, I talked to a lot of the other guys with their teams and they're like saying how they would match up against this team. They think they would do well. And I think they're thinking college basketball is down. But I don't want to take anything away from these young kids. They did it last year. They did it again this year. It was great. They went on an average of 23 points, I think, margin, which is unbelievable. But they just looked very dominant. And I was impressed with Zach Edey. You know, he showed up. He came out very intense. And he showed that he belongs in the conversation with the top bigs in the country and in the draft this year coming. So the way he came out and I guess performed against Donovan Clingan was a good battle, one we wanted to see. But yeah, the UConn team was really good. It was a slower paced game. It was, not as much up and down, but, you know, they showed why. They said they wore teams down. And by that second half, most they opened up the game and they won by double digits for both games in the Final Four against Alabama as well.
I want to talk about Caitlin Clark here in just a moment, as the women's ratings have absolutely skyrocketed during her performance and South Carolina's performance during the women's tournament. But one more thing on men's college basketball. I think the most entertaining thing that happened this weekend in men's college basketball had nothing to do with what happened on the court, but what happened off the court. John Calipari, one of the faces of college basketball, one of the great salesmen of college basketball, the man who recruited Tyrese Maxey, the man who recruited Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, the names go on and on. John Wall, the guy who recruited Bam Adebayo. I could go on and on and on and on. He has chosen to leave the university. It gets nuts. Terrence Jones. He has decided to leave the University of Kentucky. The University of Kentucky for Arkansas. No shade on Arkansas, but we're talking about the University of Kentucky that John Calipari has left. And now part of the reason why he left, because Lexington don't play when you don't win. And that is something that, unfortunately, John Calipari could not do as of recent. Only one NCAA tournament win in the past 4 years, unacceptable in Lexington. And then if you look at the entirety of his career at Kentucky, only one, I counted one, national title, considering the fact he's had over 20 players sent to the NBA. It's been a disappointment, but he has a chance to redeem himself with all that NIL money that Arkansas has given him. I think, Danny, this is fascinating, again, to see one of the main coaches that we have ever celebrated and acknowledged in college basketball leave a blue blood for Arkansas. Would you have done it if you were him? Because it felt like it just got too tight.
Well, it seemed like there was something else going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Who knows how him and the AD got along, but said, and the pressure that he was facing in all the talks, you know, the last 4 years, they said them losing in the tournaments early was not good enough. And I'm sure they still were going to stick with him and keep him around. He's bringing in recruits, top recruits, NBA guys. But eventually, said the program, the school, they're going to want wins. They're going to want, you know, college wins. It doesn't matter about NBA contracts and guys are getting drafted. They want to win in college and get to at least the Final Four and have something to show for their money. So for him, said there might have been some talks, might have been some, you know, rumblings of some other things. And instead of, you know, having that pressure on him of getting fired the next year, he's got time now. Less pressure, time to rebuild, recruit, still bring his top recruits there in Arkansas, have NIL money, still get paid the same, if not more there. I don't know how Arkansas came up with this money. It's just unbelievable because the
they got some famous alums. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, went to Arkansas. Walmart headquarters is in Arkansas. Like, they got some bread.
I hear it, but to have a $33 million buyout, you know what I'm saying, just to get the guy out of there, it's a lot of money. So to be throwing money around and tossing money around, you would think that the program would be able to get top recruits, but I guess getting him was the start of it. So hopefully, I think in their mind is to get him and then get his recruits to come there as well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So there's less pressure on him, but they're going to want him to win too in the next 2 or 3 years. He's going to have to win there. But yeah, overall, the status of the media and the magnifying glass is a lot smaller there than it is at Kentucky. And I think, you know, he had 15 seasons in Kentucky. He did his time. He's like, all right, maybe it's time to move on. Things are not working out, especially with behind the scenes. Who knows what the conversations were? And he's like, let me start over fresh. Get a new, you know, thing going. Let me move over here. They're offering me good money. And I have some time to rebuild and kind of recruit myself and, you know, actually sink in with trying to change up my recruitment type thing.
Yeah, well, the way the NIL is going now and the way the college game is going now, as great as he can be as a recruiter, as we saw in this NCAA tournament, you're also going to have to recruit upperclassmen from other schools and try to make sure they're a part of your team as well, because an 18-year-old, while he might be higher on the draft board, he's not better than a 23-year-old during the NCAA tournament. And that's been proven over and over and over again. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, let's go to the women's game, where Caitlin Clark's magical, historic, and aspiring college career came to an end as South Carolina did them dirty. They got their lick back. After losing the national semifinal last year, They beat Caitlin Clark in the national title game this year, an undefeated season for the Lady Gamecocks. Camilla Cardoza, most outstanding player, 15 boards, 17 rebounds, dominant, but overall dominant as a whole squad as they really shut down Caitlin Clark after she was on fire in that in the first quarter. She was going off. Danny, how would you summarize, just as a basketball fan, what you have experienced and what you have seen from the all the excitement and the courage and the coverage and the spiking TV ratings from Caitlin Clark's involvement in the women's game? And how do you feel, just as a person who's dedicated your life to basketball, how happy are you to see where the women's game is now going and what it could now be because of what Caitlin Clark and others have been able to do for the game to elevate its status?
Yeah, I love it, man. We've been trying to build the W up as much as we can over the past years with the fraternity between the NBA and the WNBA with the Players Association side. So for the college basketball to grow and make it shift and get the media attention would only carry on over into the WNBA. We need more of this, not just Caitlin Clark, but the story with Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith, like just a little bit of trash talking here. There's South Carolina. Dawn Staley's got their group playing. So people want to see Paige Buchers. They're all playing really well. And, you know, has a bright future for the transition, not from only from the W, well, not from only from college, but to the W, where people are going to want to watch. So we're hoping this transition carries over. We need this type of energy. We need all this type of following and media when they get there, too. They get drafted in May. And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen some people in the past do this where the transition hasn't carried over. Now the viewership is different. The TV deals are different. There's a lot more access to these things. And because we have the coverage of social media and these guys, these women are influencers as well. They have a following on social media, and that can also transition and carry over to what the sponsors and deals they have to where they'll still get and bring up the W and have the viewership, hopefully not the same, but at least close to where college is, because college right now has been killing it, man. And I said, hopefully Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, all these girls can bring that same type of energy, that same type of viewership, that same type of media hype to the W, to where it carries over, and we can have, you know, a good summer of basketball watching these women who deserve to be watched, you know, play.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And if you just want to talk about the women's college game, you got Hannah Hidalgo from Notre Dame. She's a freshman. She's coming back. She's one of the best players in the country. Paige Beckers, as Danny mentioned, from UConn. Juju Watkins from USC. You also have Madison Booker from Texas as well. Watch her. She's an absolute bucket. The women's game is in a strong place, not just in college, but also for the W as well. On Tuesday, we've learned that TNT now has signed a broadcasting deal with the WNBA to broadcast their games now in England and I believe in Ireland. So with Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA, we are seeing more broadcast partners investing in the W. And as we saw with ESPN's coverage, the more you invest in it, the more it pays out to the players, the more it pays out to the sport. You don't get none without giving some. And that's exactly what we have seen now with the women's game. So happy to see it. And Danny, when Caitlin Clark comes to Barclays Center this summer to take on my New York Liberty, I'll be in the building, even though I saw some of those tickets already. They taxing. They coming for your pockets.
Do you have that date circled yet? Do you know when it is? It's this summer, so it should be available, right?
If you're the tickets are actually available, and they're literally five times more expensive than any other ticket that's available right now for purchase. Caitlin Clark doing actual numbers. It should be fun to see. And I would love to see how she responds to the challenge of getting to the W, because you know those are grown-ass women who are not just going to let her have her shine or not going to try and stop her from having her shine. But I think with who Caitlin Clark is, she's going to respond to the challenge. Speaking of somebody who didn't respond to the challenge, one J. Cole. What do we have going on in the world of hip hop now? I love J. Cole, one of my favorite rappers of all time. Why I like him? Because his music is usually very sensible and very relatable to a person who's trying to lead a responsible life. Yes, we all love other types of rap, and some of the rap you frankly cannot relate to. I'm not moving drugs. I'm not committing homicides. So it's very hard to relate to certain rap artists out there. But J. Cole, for the most part, has a very sensible rap style and sensible rap content that the average person can appreciate. Every now and again, we have these things called rap battles. And he was put into the forum thanks to a diss track from Kendrick Lamar. It's a clever diss track. He didn't go too hard at J. Cole, but J. Cole responded on his most recent album that was now that's now available streaming. If you're not familiar, this past weekend at Dreamville Fest, J. Cole, speaking to his fans, basically said it was the lamest shit he's ever done, recording this diss track and putting it out for the public. And he's basically said all of his fans are Kendrick Lamar fans, so why is he thought he was lame for even responding to the diss track. And the hip-hop community is like, what's really lame is you trying to cop out of the beef that you entered yourself into with the response. Danny, as a hip-hop head, a man who grew up on Ether, a man who grew up on Second Round Knockout, a man who grew up on Back Down from 50 Cent, what went through your mind when you heard the apology? And how do you stand right now on the J. Cole withdrawal from the beef?
Well, he responded, and then he responded again. So he responded twice, even though he didn't respond. But so when you go back in the history of the rap battles that we've got a chance to hear and see between Jay and Nas, between 50 and Ja Rule, between 50 and Fat Joe, between 50 and Jadakiss, just so many different battles.
Cannabis and LL Cool J was a good one.
Yeah, that was a great one. One of the best.
Pusha T and Drake.
Pusha T and Drake. Ye's had beef with people. So we've seen a bunch of it, and said I'm not disappointed in the guy because I love Cole to the fullest, and I love his music lyrically, one of the best in the game. And he did respond. I love the response. It didn't feel right with him. It didn't sit right with him. So he had to. I just would have wished he would have waited longer, later on down the line, and let it play out. Some I'm sure Kendrick would have too. It's just competition, but you know that's not him. That's not who he is. He's not a type of person to bring negativity or come down on anybody. He didn't want to take away or discredit anything Kendrick did. He did it in his song. He didn't like it because he didn't really believe in it. He thought Kendrick was unbelievable. Obviously, his albums may have not done crazy numbers, but he believed they should have, and that he's in the different limelight or different category than what he painted him out to be in the diss record. So he said his apology. You know, sometimes you don't get the smoke you want. We never got the Kobe Bryant, LeBron James matchup in the finals. You know what I'm saying? So it happens sometimes, and that's just the way the game goes. But he did have a response. It was a record. It'll go down. They had the little beef. Now it's Drake's turn to see what he does and how he responds. But, you know, Cole's an older gentleman. We're older now, man. We don't care about beefing. We don't care about fighting. Our emotions are like, it's not that serious. You know, I got a family. I got everything I want. I got everything I need. I have no problems with nobody. I'm grown. You know, I hear a lot of people say that. So he's like, man, I have no problems. I'm grown, man. What am I doing here? I'm not fighting nobody. I'm not talking trash to nobody. I'm not that emotional guy. Nobody's taking nothing away from me. I'm not taking nothing away from anybody. So, like, we're not taking food out of each other's mouths. I have no beef with you. And even then, I'm too grown to try to use my energy to fight you instead of fight for myself to get what I need for me. You know what I'm saying? So, but when it comes down to being the rap battles, I hear you, Jimmy, back there. Like, we want to see the ether. We want to see the smoke. We want to see the fire. You know what I'm saying? We want to see it. We need it. Fans need it. And the reason why the women's basketball is what it is, the viewership, is because there was smoke. You know what I'm saying? Between South Carolina, Iowa State, between LSU, Iowa State. Like, we want to see those matchups. We want to see Paige versus Caitlin and UConn. So that's what we love to see. You know, people want to see the fights. People tune in more when the NBA is having their scraps and scruffles. Rap battles and music, we need it. You know what I'm saying? If you want the viewership, you want the listeners, you want, you know, some booming, some going, we need that competition. Without the competition, it's still great and lovely, but the fans are looking for it. Fans love it. They need it. They want it. So sometimes you got to give the fans what they want. He did for a little bit, but then, you know, he kind of backtracked. So that's why some fans are not too happy with it.
Yeah, I can't knock him. As he said, he had to protect his peace. He wasn't sitting right, and he understood. I think one of the things that I like that he said is that he said he hadn't been sleeping well for the past 2 days after putting it out, and it reminded him of how well he had been sleeping for the past 10 years. So once you go off kilter, like, yeah. Oh, this is not sitting right with me. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, you don't need none to fetch your peace, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, especially, you know, I get changed.
Yeah. So I give him all the flowers for keeping his own peace. I just wish somebody, if he wasn't going to.
It's on Drake now.
Yeah.
It's on Drake now. Somebody's going to do it. So there's plenty of people to come up and, you know what I'm saying? Push has done it. He's just like, yo, it's not me. You know what I'm saying? There's other guys in his business that can do it. Drake, we'll see what you got, bro. You got the bars. You know what I'm saying? You a killer? You got all these mob ties. Let's hear it. I want to see what's up. Like, everybody's talking, everybody's waiting. So there's other people that can step up to the plate. And Cole did, but then he bowed out, which is fine. He put out a track, bowed out, but Tim, there's thousands of rappers now. We can get it from somewhere. Obviously, not all that great. They're not on that level of Cole, but we got thousands of rappers. Everybody's people, I don't even know their names. You could just say a name, and it probably is a rapper. It's a little T. And if there is a rapper, short
little green room.
Yep. Maybe anybody, bro. That's a rapper. You don't know about, Haynes. You don't know about HS. You don't know about Harrison Sanford. Yeah, my co-host. No, he's a rapper. You just never know. So we have plenty of rappers out there.
For sure.
Have somebody get some smoke out there.
Yeah, it'll come eventually. But, I just wish that if he wasn't going to stand 10 toes down on it, don't put it out in the first place. But sometimes you have to make a decision in order to regret it. So it be like
that. You
got to
feel the energy first. Sometimes you got to experience something to feel the energy to know, like, all right, and that's how it happens sometimes. And so no love lost for the guy, no respect lost for the guy. He's still great in my mind. And for him to be an adult, to be able to express himself that way and be like, you know what, this is even more respect, bro. Like, hey, I'm with it. It's crazy to me, what I have least respect for is the people that fake to be something that they're not.
Yeah.
Don't fake to be a gangster. You know you're not a tough guy, so don't portray you're going to fight this guy or beat this guy up or that you're going to do, like, or that you're this, this, and that when you're not, and pretending that. So he's like, yo, this is not me. I respect it even more because there's so many rappers, so many people out there acting like they're living their best life on Instagram.
Yeah, but that
would have
been faking it, yeah.
Acting like, faking it. Nah, don't. Some people stand on it. They may say something to stand on it, but I'm all for, just being genuine to who you are.
Yeah, salute to him. It's like, basically, we got a movie, and we got the sequel, and we're looking for the trilogy. Let's see what happens. Let's see if Drake gets to the microphone.